In the podcast system, sexually awkward situations are considered absolutely hilarious. In the state of Texas, the dedicated G's who regurgitate these gag-worthy stories are members of an elite squad known as the Kiss Me Fat Boy Union. These are their stories.
Bro, I can tell you're super low energy. You weren't wrong.
Man. Well, today, like, it's just been, like, one of them lazy-ass Sundays. Over here, the weather has been, like, you know, just been, like, kind of gloomy and shit. So, like, anytime it's like, gloomy or rainy, like, I start off with high energy, and then that shit just, like, gets depleted by the time the day's already half over with. So I'm just like, fuck. Plus, I had to go take Zach's car to get detail cleaned because it hadn't been cleaned in, like, 2 weeks. So, that shit took me, like, 2 hours.
Okay. Well, before we kick it off, let me go ahead and give the disclaimer. You as a listener are deciding if this is a conversation or a confrontation regarding the topics we address on this episode. Although I don't think that there's anything that we're going to be addressing or confronting. It's more so, how can I say this? I'm trying to find the word. I'm losing my mind right now because of the crazy last couple weeks that I've been having, which, you know, you've been privy to, but I don't know. It's more of a declaration, right? More of a testimony, I guess, if you will. I thought I've been through some dark shit, but I've not been through some dark shit. Like, I was watching the other day. It's going to be very, what's the word that I'm looking for? God, my thoughts are just running away from me. Well, anyways, it's going to be very coincidental that I watched this. But did you ever watch The Fault in Our Stars?
Yeah, it had that Wood girl, whatever her name was, right? The girl who had like a shit
term. Haley cancer. Woodley.
I thought
it
was like Shirley or some shit.
Yes. Oh, Shirley Haley. I forgot what her fucking name was.
Yeah, that white girl.
But yeah, she's so funny. Well, there was a part where Augustus Waters, which, by the way, my dog, my Frenchie, the one that I had with my ex, his name was Bentley Augustus, right? And it came from The Fault in Our Stars. It also was inspired by Willy Wonka. I don't know if you remember Augustus Gloop. Augustus Gloop. yeah, that's where it also came from. So I kind of fused it together, and that's what I would call him. But anyways, there was this quote that she says when Augustus Waters dies, where she's like, she's in the hospital, and they say in the hospital, you know, you rate your pain from 1 to 10, right? 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. And she told the nurse that it was a 9. And then the nurse comes back and she says, you know how I know that you're a fighter is because you rated a 10 a 9. And then she says, that's not true. She's like, I was saving my 10. And then when she lost her boyfriend, she said, this is it. This is the great and terrible 10. I feel like that's where I'm at in my life right now. Like, the great and terrible 10, you know? Like, I thought I've experienced pain. I thought I've experienced loss even. But it's been so, like, it's been a wave, and not like a good one. It's been dark. It's been gloomy. It's been dank. It's been up and down. It's been a roller coaster. But, you know, I feel like I'm built for this. As much as I don't like it, I feel like the things that I've gone through in my life have brought me to this moment, you know? You know, I just really... There's this also, I'm going to start referencing stuff. It's so funny because remember how, like, when we're having our moments together on the phone, we're like, you know, well, remember from this movie and remember when we saw this and we always do that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm always like, oh, Gio, it's not about movies. We can't, movies aren't real. But now, you know, I'm going to start referencing a lot more like movies and podcasts because of what I'm currently going through. Angie Martinez, she interviewed Joe Budden. Did you see that entire episode?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, me too. Joe is, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Joe, but he's so clever. He's a wordsmith, and he knows his shit. You know, he's definitely one of the gatekeepers, you know, of hip-hop, you know? He talks about how Kobe Bryant, like, his whole life was this legend, right? He's done all these great things. He practiced, he worked hard, you know, he endured a lot. And he was just like, and everyone thought it had to do with basketball, right? Mm-hmm. But what it really had to do was that one moment where he was in the helicopter with his daughter, which I believe her name was Gia,
Vanessa.
Right?
Vanessa.
Oh, sorry. Vanessa's his wife.
Yeah, Vanessa's wife. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it's Gia. And, you know, they obviously die in the plane crash. And they said, no, Joe talks about, like, really it had to do with that very moment because he probably was holding on to his daughter for dear life and consoling her and being there for her. And it all mm-hmm. came down to that. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, that's how I see myself, where it's like this one big, like, wave of electricity or just like wave of pain finally just hits you. And like, I'm sad. Like, I cry and I get in my head and it messes with me and it fucks up my day. But I also know that, like, I know how to come out of it too, you know? Like, I know how to really just bounce myself back from it. And well, anyways, so let me just tell everyone what's going on. So my grandmother, for the last, it's about to be a week tomorrow. So that's 7 days. So for the last 17 days up until last Monday, she was going through some intense pain. She had fever, body aches. It was just a lot going on. Her body was shutting down. She was completely weak. She was literally having to be transported from her bed to her tub, to her bathroom. My brother had to bathe her. And she was just not mobile. She was just depleted. She was weak. She wasn't self-sufficient. She couldn't do anything. So I was in El Paso at the moment, and I was going to come home that Monday, but there was like a fucking monsoon outside, right? And I was like, no, it kept getting like delayed. I was like, I'm not going to do this. Like, if they're going to keep delaying it, I'm just going to move it till actual Valentine's Day, because I was there visiting Chris, right? And mm-hmm. Then that Monday she decides to go to the hospital. And, you know, she was getting treated for a UTI, and she also did a CAT scan on top of that. So all the symptoms she was feeling was an untreated UTI that's gone on for too long, right? And during the CAT scan, they found that there was a tumor on her pancreas. And lo and behold, after a biopsy, you know, it is stage one pancreatic cancer. My grandmother is nearly 83. She is too weak and in no condition to be able to do chemo. Chemo will fast track her death. Literally, she could have another 2 or 3 years and she'll expedite her death. It's like a death sentence, like 6 months maybe, if even that, if fucking even that, because chemo is so strong. So that's off the table. But since it's so early, we spoke to the oncologist, and the oncologist is saying that they're able to actually cut out the tumor, but the likelihood of her being cured from it, right, is like mm-hmm. 20 to 25%. Most people, they're going to die of it, is what he's telling me. But the good news is that it'll add some years to the lifespan. So we're looking at anywhere now between 2 years to 5 years. So we still have some time with her. You know, it's not like she's going anywhere tomorrow or anything like that. Again, all her symptoms that she was feeling was because of an untreated UTI. And so now she's going to a facility to get rehab, to get her strength back for the next week. And then after that, we're going to be meeting with the oncologist and going from there and seeing if she's strong enough or will be strong enough to get the procedure done, to get the tumor removed from her pancreas. And that's where we're at. We literally just found all that out today. Well, I knew about it yesterday, but I wanted him to sit my dad and my uncle down and actually have him tell them, you know, face to face and answer any questions that they may have, because I had most of my questions answered, but, you know, I just kind of asked questions too, because my uncle was recording it to save it for later. But it was today I feel okay. I'm just really, I'm trying to do self-care. I'm trying to, like, take a step back and just kind of, like, hey, you know what? Like, I went to go see Ant-Man yesterday, last night, with one of my best friends, my oldest best friends, one of my oldest best friends. And it was nice. It was a good distraction. I got my mind away from everything because, like, you know, it's a lot. Like, a lot of people are looking to me, coming to me. I'm a point of reference, asking me all these questions. And it just becomes overwhelming where I'm just kind of not responding to people anymore. I appreciate all the love, the calls, the texts, all the concerns and the wishes. But, like, for me, like, I'm not that much of a people person, bro. I get drained real easily when people start coming up to me and asking me questions. I start to shut down, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just not that kind of person. But I'm thugging it out, and I'm doing updates on Facebook because that's where most of my family gets their information. So they feel like they're somewhat in the loop. And then if not, they can pass it on. You know what I mean? Like, so I was just kind of doing that because I'm tired of, like, responding back to text messages and Facebook Messenger. Like, it's, like, tiring. Like, all my tías and tíos and cousins all have Facebook, you know? So it's like, mijo, what's happening? Mijo, you haven't said nothing. And I get it. It's coming from a place of concern. But for me, it's a lot because a lot of it's all me. You know, like, I'm the facilitator here. You know, I'm the one that's taking care of her, watching over her, making sure everything's getting done. And, yeah, it's just, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, it's been draining. I've been driving a lot back and forth, wasting a lot of gas, going on all these tolls. And I don't live close to the hospital that she is. And the rehab center that she's going to is even further. And it's like, fuck. And I'm still trying to juggle work. Because I'm not trying to take time off, because I'm not that type of person where it's like, let me take time off. Like, no, I need the distraction, you know? But, wow, I don't think I've talked this much before.
I know, and I've just been letting you drive. I'm like, ooh, this is nice.
He don't do that. He's not that type of girl. But anyways, did you like Ant-Man? I know you went.
Ant-Man. We haven't talked about it. Yeah, nobody did. I mean, I told you what I felt like. It was a good little filler. I'm not gonna lie to you. I kind of felt like the whole what's his name? Kang, right? Kang.
Yeah, Kang.
I felt Kang, like the Conqueror. His whole buildup and shit was like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, if he was all this and that and shit, like, I don't think he should have gone up above. He should have gone up against Ant-Man. Like, all tea, all shade. I don't really look at Ant-Man as a threat.
I'm not gonna Same. Lie to you. It was because he was in the quantum realm, and the only person that he had access to that was close to was Ant-Man and his future mother-in-law.
Yeah. Know? Well, spoiler alert: you got, like, I'm gonna give you 10 seconds before I sit there and say what really, really, really saved that movie.
Yeah, like, spoiler 10, alert: you should go now.
9, 8, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Bye.
No, but really, it was those motherfucking ants.
Bro, right? And science. They called it and science, remember?
Yeah, if those ants weren't there, they would have all been fucking dead.
So, no, seriously. But dude, like, it was kind of like you were right. It was very Star Warsy. Like, the opening scene and everything. I love that Michelle Pfeiffer is part of the Marvel Universe now. I love Michelle Pfeiffer. But yeah, no, Kang. So we all know now what the plot is pretty much the Avengers are going to be fighting Kang and all his variants. That's pretty much what it is. It's the Kang dynasty versus whichever Avengers were coming, you know? So the new Avengers, the young Avengers, whatever the fucking Avengers are, but it's going to be them versus the Avengers versus Kang's dynasty, which is the variants. And they are, the research that I've done before I watched this entire thing, I was going through Kang and his history and how he's connected to the Marvel Universe. There were supposed to be like 7 or 8 main variants. But dude, when they showed that end credit scene, it was like, what, 1,000?
Three main ones. Because obviously, if you think about it, right, the Loki series had He Who Remained, which was one of them. He, you know, he fucked around and found out and died.
Okay.
Now you have Kang.
Oh, yeah, he was so, TVA, right? It's the Time Variant Association or something like that.
Well, he created, or he
yeah,
was,
he created.
I don't know if he created it or if he managed it, because the other little credit scene was, this is where we're gonna meet. I think his name is Victor or some shit like that. This is another variant of Kang.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Oh, this is the guy who created the TVA. While the other guy just kind of like saw it over, or whatever, like a security guard and shit. So, hold on.
I don't know, but you know who fucking was so annoying and so unnecessary? MODOK. That big ass, distorted, deranged fucking Thanos lookalike.
Well, so he was a comic relief. Like, I kind of liked how they brought back, his name was Darien or some shit like that. The guy,
yeah,
the
first Darien villain. Or some shit like that. Yeah,
yeah. So, you know, I like how they kind of repurposed his character to make him another, you know, MCU villain and shit. And it was a comic relief and stuff.
It was. It was funny. He was funny, but it was just like kind overkill. Of annoying. Oh yeah, overkill. It was just like, okay, like you just came back for him to realize that he wasn't a dick, just for him to die. Him and his little, him and his little legs and his arms, like, right. Bro, that dude was all head. I was like,
yeah, he really was. He was all dome.
same.
I may have some good news, and I may have some bad news. I don't really know how to say this.
You're pregnant, and you're getting an abortion.
And I was like, could you imagine? If
one of those, you're pregnant, but you're killing it. I'm just kidding.
Like, could you imagine if I was like one of those gays who talk like that? You're not gonna believe me. Am I gonna tell you?
What the fuck, Gio? What know. Fucking gay guy talks like that?
I don't know. The little hotitos from Mexico and shit who be like trying to like really spice up the language. Oh, you don't know me like that. Why you talk like that?
Like, it's TB. This Jocelyn. This Jocelyn.
Yeah, like, no. No, so, all right. I sent you that fucking text message, right? Because I got an email from Facebook and fucking Instagram saying you reinstated your account and only for me to log in and say your shit's disabled. I was like, all right, whatever.
Eternal.
Bitch,
but you've been asleep. Right, you've been asleep.
I've been asleep for like 4 months on Instagram, which I don't give a fuck. People keep asking me, why don't you just make a new one? Because I'm not going to give them motherfuckers a satisfaction. Suck my dick. Suck the whole tip.
From balls. The back. From the yeah, back, right? Bitch. No, I'm just kidding.
And with the blindfold. Find it at that.
You stupid.
But no, so I might actually have a plug. So there was this guy who I'm only going to say this because if it works, great. You know, I got someone in my pocket now.
Yeah.
But I found an ethical hacker who actually is hacking them right now to reinstate my account.
Does it come with the club card? I'm just kidding.
But let me tell you right now. I told
Plug me. No, I need him to hack into it.
I know. No, but what's funny is like, so he was really like, he was giving me the gist and shit. Like, he was like, look.
Yeah.
He goes like, do y'all ever delete? He goes, you ever deleted a photo off your phone? I was like, yeah. He goes, you know where it sits at, right? He's like, yeah, I'm cycle man. So you emptied out. He's like, yeah. He goes, when accounts get disabled, he goes, that's exactly what happens. They go sit in the folder. He goes, there's like almost like, think of a storage unit full of just disabled accounts. He goes, what I'm doing is I'm running through every single one of those disabled accounts until I find yours. He goes, and it takes about 24 hours. And I was like, for real. I was like, well, how do I know that you're real? He's like, look, I've been doing this for 7 years. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know, so like if I get my account back, you know, by tomorrow, then that's fantastic. And I got a guy in my pocket now, you know? I'm gonna definitely throw him some hella work. But if he doesn't, then I guess this was just 5 minutes of bullshit. So
we coming for your mama.
No, but I told you what happened a couple of weeks ago on my Facebook. I fucking wake up one morning to 19.
Yeah, bro, you've been getting hella hacked and hella like disabled. Yeah.
But you know what though? You know what's funny? It's from the metaverse. The metaverse is that protected, y'all. Fuck that. Facebook and Instagram are the same people, so what?
Don't ever fucking play with me.
So, you know, I told you I woke up that one morning and some guy or some gal or some them woke up in fucking Vietnam and shit, hacked my shit, and then, like, uploaded, like, 19 videos. And I'm like, what kind of videos did they upload my shit on my shit for my account to be, you know, disabled or whatever, right? So I had to go through that whole appeal process and send a fucking driver's license photo and all that other bullshit.
Just to get your Facebook back.
God damn. And then just to try to sit there and log in and shit and then say that my shit's been disabled. So I'm just like, okay, whatever, kid. Whatever.
You're like, it's not that much of a big deal. I mean, you still have your Twitter, right? So that's where you really like plug, and most of your revenue comes from, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not really tripping. Like,
Twitterverse.
Right. I've not been on Instagram since shit, a couple of days before Halloween. So I'm not
tripping. It's been nice, right? It's nice to take a break.
Whatever, still being a hoe, you know, just on another platform. So, whatever. Still taking photos, still taking back shots. but just I want to let you. You know, I'm like one of the little Kang, you know, variants and shit. I'm like just waiting in the arena. As soon as they open that gate, I'm running through. Just going run through. But yeah, I mean, we'll see and stuff. Like I said, but what's fucked up is that like I got both the emails back from Facebook, right? Because I couldn't log into my Facebook account. I'm sorry, my even if my Instagram wasn't like reinstated, it would be disabled right now because of my Facebook. They're connected, right? So yeah. I tried to log into like Facebook or Instagram, and they were just like, well, you can't appeal the process right now because your account for Facebook is like in violation. I'm like, I didn't fucking do shit.
Damn, the fucking social media world just doesn't want you to be great.
Right? And that's why, you know what, I hope
all someone hates you. You got brujeria.
I'm going to say, I hope all the motherfuckers get laid off. Shit, 10 more thousand of them, right? Oh my God, I don't give a shit.
He said, fuck the tech world.
Right, fuck yeah. I mean,
even though the tech world fucking employs me, fuck the tech world.
No, actually, guess what? You know what? We about to, so I might have found my calling. Okay.
Wait, no. What?
So, all right. So, look. We're going to buy an 18-wheeler, and we're going to lease it out, and it's going to make money for us. And I may sit there and just go buy two of the bitches and live off that. No, for real.
You know what? Do what you want to do. Do whatever you got to do. No,
for real. You know what?
He runs a trucker company now. He runs a tractor company now. He's hella butch. Right. He wears a John Deere hat and some boots, and he leases it out every week. I'm being racially insensitive. Sorry, I don't know why I just did that country bumpkin accent.
Sorry. No, sorry, guys. You know, like, so Zach and I are looking at it right now. You know, I mean, basically, we can drop about anywhere from like 45 to 50. You know, which what we do have
was 50. 50 what? $50?
No, 50,000. Because that's what we basically been saving.
50K. 50,000. Yes. Dollars.
Yes.
Because not rupees, but dollars. Okay. What the fuck?
No, but
not yenses, but U.S. dollars.
No, because we've been saving, you know, for a house and stuff. That, like we said, we've been hustling and bustling and doing what we have to do from the OnlyFans and the Jester fans, right? So, you know, that was gonna be, like I said, we're that's our safety net right now, right? But yeah. Zach right now is looking at the numbers because Zach's a numbers guy, and he's just looking at it to see, you know, what the probability is. Because to be honest with you, like I said, if we can get anywhere from like 4 to 8 grand a month based off of just the vehicle alone, we can make back our money. It's not a problem. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So my mom's significant other runs a courier service there in Texas. So like all I would have to do is just lease it out to him. He'd hire the driver, handle all that other shit. And like for the most part, like my mom's doing that right now. She bought hers with some settlement money that she had just gotten thrown her way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she's about to like, you know, she's about to, you know, start to kind of be able to pull back from her other job and just kind of have this just be, you know, her main source of income. And I'm like, yo, like, let me get in it, you know? Cause then like even my mom's significant other's kid bought his own into it as well. So like I said, it could just be like more like a little family business and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Just until, because right now, like you said, the tech world's taking a hit right now. And like,
yeah, it's a huge hit. It's scary right now. It's
either that or selling dope, you know?
Wait, like the pussy dope or like dope?
I'm going to sell.
He's like, I already sell that. I already sling that.
I'm about to go sling.
Been doing that. The originator.
No, I'm selling cocaine.
Oh my God.
No, I'm not going to lie to you.
He's kidding. He means Coca-Cola. Yeah. That's how you say Coca-Cola in Spanish.
No, to be honest with you, you know, because I don't like cert queens, like, you know, or cert crowds and shit. I wouldn't mind selling drugs to them, make money off them.
Oh my God, how are we talking about selling drugs? What is going on right now? We're about to implicate ourselves. No, I'm
selling pills, you know, selling pills and shit, you know.
Whatever. Pills and potions.
Right?
We're overdosing.
They're overdosing, not me.
Oh my God. There's a Nicki Minaj song. Remember that song?
Yeah, remember that's when Game was in the video too.
Yeah.
He was her love interest. But no, I mean, like I said, you know, right now we're looking at it. Because I mean, like, if we can have two sources of income to speed up the process to find a house, then fuck it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, we already have our LLC for, you know, for
the content. Let me know how that goes. Shit, I'm trying to get me a tractor.
It's not a tractor, boy. It's an 18-wheeler.
It's a trucker company. Yeah. Oh, doesn't Angel do that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's why she don't work no more. She's a stay-at-home mom. And she got a brand new house. She got 3 kids.
And a Yorkie.
With a big dick and a putting a poolside. Champagne, little bubbly. No 9 to 5.
No, but it's also because the Angel has, you know, her medical conditions that prohibit her from being able to work, which sucks.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that either, but you know. No, she looks like she's doing great, you know. I saw that her daughter just moved out too.
Yeah, she's going to college and stuff, and that was kind of like one of those burdens. And I'm kind of glad that also, you know, her daughter came out too. And I was like, great, you know, we all kind of knew, but again, it's not for us to sit there and, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm like, you know, hey. I mean, again, that's it. You know what's funny? I know I'm rambling right now, but you know what show I've been watching? I was kind of hesitant to watch it because, you know, I finished watching Martin, and I finished watching Living Single, and then I finished watching
We Got Us a Man.
Right? Then I was finishing watching the Wayne's Bros show.
I've been watching Living Single, kind of,
I just finished... And I just finished watching the Jamie Foxx show, right? So I've been watching all these black sitcoms from the 90s. And I love how each one of them, like, almost kind of cross over just to make a
guest. You should watch Girlfriends. It's on Netflix. I own the DVDs, but you should watch it.
No, I probably am going to watch Girlfriends. I love Girlfriends. But I'm watching all the 90s sitcoms first, yeah. Which is funny because Golden Brooks actually makes an appearance on the Jamie Foxx show because the person who created Girlfriends was also the person who created...
Oh, yeah, Mara Ollie Brock, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's, I'm pretty sure that's how they established a relationship was from her feature, her feature on there.
She also does the game, the old game and the rebooted one.
Have you been
watching rebooted? I've been watching it. Yeah, I've been keeping up. Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I love the cuss now and shit. You know,
I love it all, and it's crazy how what's his face has not aged one bit. Neither has Tasha. What's her name? So what's her son's name? Malik
has not aged. Because the one who was the other one was Pooch Hall or whatever. That was Derek or Darian.
Ding Dong Durin. Derwin Davis.
You're Durin.
You stupid. Yeah, I love that show. That's one of my favorite shows too.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. But you know, I'm actually right now I'm watching The Fresh Prince of Bel Air, and it's funny because I'm on season two right now.
The old one, right? Not the new one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I like the new one too. I like how there's this added realness to like society and what's going on right now with you know obviously.
Yeah, it's very political. It's very political driven. Climate, it's very, the current climate. It's very. There's a message, you know.
Yeah, and I look forward to season two and stuff like that. I don't know when it's going to air on Peacock. I think that's what it is or whatever.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, so we shall see. But yeah, I really enjoy watching The Fresh Prince because I'm like watching some of this stuff, actually, which is funny, right? So I listened to the Joe Budden podcast and you brought up Joe Budden earlier. And I was listening to yesterday's drop or whatever. And they're talking about the re-recover of Vogue, right? And how some of the men and women have been going like, you know, spitter spattering and shit about the...
Yeah, they're really dragging her. I'm like, for what?
Well, they're not dragging her. They're dragging ASAP because they're saying... Because basically they're saying that somehow she's emasculating the man because she's a billionaire and she makes more money than him. And
what's Boo funny, fucking who?
What's funny is that Vogue never wanted Rocky. They wanted her and the baby. So she just brought, you know what I'm saying? Like he was an added extra, you know?
He was a bonus. He was lucky.
Yeah.
But, he was lucky to be there.
But what's so funny is that people were just like, yeah, that's why he should be in the background. You know, let her, you know, she makes more money, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, what's so funny is they're talking about black excellence, right? And they were talking about like, there's two members now who've been added to the Joe Budden podcast, Melissa Ford. And then the other one is.
I love Melissa, by the way. She's so smart.
And so the other one is Flip. I don't know what they call him.
Flipper?
Lil Flip? Not Lil Flip, but no, his name was Flip or whatever. Anyways, and they're talking about it, like, and they're asking her, like, how does she feel? She's like, well, what do you mean? She goes, and they're talking about, like, well, what do you, do you believe that regardless of however much a man makes in a household, that he should still be the head of the household? And she was just like, what do you mean? What's his power dynamics that you're referring to? Like, does money always equate to power in the relationship? And they're just like, yeah, 9 out of 10 times, that's what they're usually referring to. And what's so funny is that, like, as they were talking about this and stuff, I'm like, and Flip was talking about, like, you know, we all know guys, you know, who sit there and use these girls' cars and drive them around and, you know, and are late to pick them up, you know, and the women are the breadwinners, but, you know, the men call the shots. And I'm just like, wow, it must really, really be really, really good to live in that really diluted, toxic masculinity universe that tend to be in that community when it comes to, like, the heteros, because it's like, they're just like, oh, you know, if I'm the man, I make more money, I'm going to sit. I'm like, yo, like, just champion whoever is successful. Like, I thought that that's the point of a relationship, is to sit there and, like, you know, big up
somebody. No, but it really is, though. Like, these traditional old school roles where one person has to drive and the other person has to sit in the back seat is so fucking outdated. And I just feel like you are the adults, this is your relationship, and you have the ability to design and maneuver your relationship how you see fit. The problem is that we're so stuck in these old traditional original ways. And listen, those are a thing of the past. Those are prehistoric. Like you, and if you want to live that way, that's great. But don't push that on other people. Don't, if that's your ideology of a relationship, that is really great. But not everybody is going to be traditional. This world is so progressive now that we don't have to conform in any fucking way if we don't want to. So,
but you know what? This is still do whatever the problem. Well, this is still the problem. And this is, again, like I was telling you, you know, and again, not to sit there and try to make this like anti-racial or whatever, but I don't necessarily know how much more, especially living in Memphis, right? Because I feel like living in Memphis, I'm seeing more African-Americans around me and like in just like stores and just kind of like in just everyday kind of places, right? And it's really dope, you know? I love seeing the little kids just run around and stuff and be themselves. But what I do kind of fear is that, like, they're going to be instilled these bullshit-ass narratives of, like, all right, girl, you're going to let him open the door for you. He wants you. He got to chase you. Like, all this bullshit instead of, like, just being like, hey, you know what? Use your words. Communicate. Something you don't like, something you don't like.
That is so real.
Yes. Just like, just talk about it. But it's like, no, harbor. Resent. I'm like, God damn. Like,
me and my sister are currently going through some changes. Like, I want to say some life-altering changes where we've really just thought that, like, we've kind of lived in this victim mentality state, not purposely and not willingly all the time, right? We're learning, you know, I'm going on this journey, right? Like, yeah. I've realized that I'm just, you can be a victim, but you can't always be the victim. You know what I mean? Like, you have to consider other people and their feelings and what they're going through. And I myself have lived in a population of one, which has always been me, where it's like my feelings, how I feel, how I'm perceiving, what I'm relaying, what me, you know? And I've never, ever, ever considered my partner up until now. And, you know, I'm still a work in progress. So, yes, that ideology of a relationship where you have to chase, where you have to keep chasing, where the guy has to do all the legwork, where the guy, bro, no, I don't know. You know, I know what my problem was, is I was listening to a lot of heteros. A lot of hetero relationships, and a lot of those were like my icons, my aspirations. When in reality, listen, I get it. My sister said something to me the other day. She's like, you say, you know, hetero world is different from gay world, or, you know, the lifestyle's different. But like, is your heart gay? Is your mind gay? And I know what she meant, right? It's not about whether my heart is gay or too straight or my brain, whatever. It's the mere fact that we navigate and think differently. It has nothing to do with the fact that, like, my heart is gay, so I'm gay, and I have to think gay, and I have to be gay, and I have to live gay. No, it's for the mere fact that the dynamics, the politics, the community, the lifestyle, the verbiage, the way of life is just so different. Like, for a long time, you know, it's like that generational trauma where it's passed down. It's like,
well, that's
our ancestors. Like, yeah, we feel like we used to hide. Bro, when you think back to what the 1900s, the 1920s, where people would have to hide their relationships, would have to live in secrecy, whether they were lesbians or gay and act like they were just roommates, but never got married and then uncovered, or they would have these underground parties. You know, and they were looked at as like dirty and derogatory and just downright disgusting. You know, like,
Well, that's the thing about it, though.
We have like a different struggle, is what I'm saying.
Oh, like, yeah, because you don't get killed for being hetero.
Exactly.
You don't have to sit there and hush that shit, which is funny because the only fucking things that I think that hetero people have to worry about is their little fucking mistresses and shit like that when they're hiding the families or the unwanted children they unfortunately had from the side piece or whatever. But, yeah. But again, I mean, there's problem in both worlds. Let's just keep it real. But what I fear to think about, especially like in Memphis, right? Because, you know, a couple of, well, I want to say it was probably about a month ago when they had that, you know, that fucking five police officers beat that one guy here. And I unfortunately forgot his name, so I'm going to attempt it here in Memphis and shit, right? You know, and like all five of them were black and this one guy happened to be black and all their body cam footage was just, I'm not going to lie to you, it was just so, it was just so sad to watch. Like, I mean, it, all this shit is fucking sad to watch, right? Like, especially since...
It was Tyree Nichols. I was trying to remember, too.
There we
go. Yeah.
And I just remember, like, thinking, like, wow, like, these five black men were taught to be this ruthless by another black man in their life. Or somebody who unfortunately has no way to know how to communicate properly. That always just has to be harbor. Gotta be hard for my boys. Gotta be hard. I'm like, damn.
It must suffer really in suck. Silence. Yeah. In order to be a man, you have to sit there and take it and be quiet and show no emotion. The only emotion you're allowed to share is what is it?
Anger.
Retaliation.
And what's funny is I forgot there was this guy on Twitter and he was I should have screenshot the shit. It was dope as fuck. And he was talking about, I don't know if he's talking about the Vogue cover, you know, because of A$AP Rocky and Rihanna or whatever, but he was talking about, like, he was like, wow, he goes, y'all really do love to sit there and tell these black men to sit there and be more vocal and, you know, and to speak and to get it off the chest so they don't have to harbor anything. But then y'all go straight to emasculating them when you see females somehow, you know, above them a little bit more, right? Like, because you have to pull them back down and you can never sit there and applaud them and push them further, right? And I'm just like, wow, like, this is coming from a black man. I'm like, this is kind of wild because, like, I have been thinking that of the black community for, like, the longest. Like, I'm like, damn, like, I know that y'all have trials, you know, trials and tribulations and shit like that, but, like, how come I'm not seeing anybody? And again, it even also goes into, like, the Latin household, right? Like, I don't see a lot of people who encourage their kids or their whatever, right? Their nieces and nephews to sit there and, like, say, hey, you know what? Yo, there are going to be times where someone's going to press you. And you know what? There's going to be times where words aren't necessarily going to be the one thing that gets you out of the jam. But you know what? For the most part, when you're talking to your significant other, when you're talking to your friends, just open up and be honest. Like, don't think that somehow they're going to immediately go into laughing at you. And if they do, they're not really for you. They're not your friends. You know to walk away because they don't ever have your back. But this is the reason why I think a lot of people have an issue, especially in the Latin community, especially if it is in the black community, even in the white community, you know what I'm saying, is that everybody's always taught to just shut up and deal with it. And some of these fucking people deal with it in the wrong way that unfortunately just adds more trauma than it does, you know, bring pleasure or delightfulness. but yeah, I was just thinking about that shit. I'm like, man,
feel like I was more raised on...
I don't know, because the reason why I'm saying this is because, like, I run across those stupid-ass videos. Like, remember, I don't know if you ever saw where, like, there was a single... I think it was a single mom. And they humiliated the son. And he was a black son. And she was a black mother. By shaving his head. Because I think something about... He was caught dancing in what they called a gay way. And they shaved his head to sit there and, like, you know, humiliate him. I'm like, God damn, like, y'all have all been that hurt and broken in y'all's life that you got to immediately go to shatter.
And isn't it crazy how, like, it's always at a young age?
Yeah.
Like what are you being taught in your household? What are you watching that makes you so...
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, like...
Savory of, like, bullying, of wanting to torture a human being for being who the fuck they want to be. Like, why do you give a fuck so much if he wants to carry a purse, or he wants to be a ballerina, or he wants to have a mermaid backpack, or he wants to watch My Little Pony, or whatever, what have you, bro. Like, why does it disturb people so much? Let that little, young, impressionable, young-minded individual be whoever the hell they want to be. Because that's the point.
As long as they're not being assholes or annoying. Because, like, you know...
Reason, obviously.
Yeah,
but,
like, I mean, I applaud anybody to be them. Just don't annoy the shit out of me. And if you sit there and say, oh, well, that's your business, not mine. Well, bitch, let me pop the shit out of you. You know? Like, I'm sorry. Look at me.
But, like, someone being who they want to be should not be of annoyance to anybody. Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? I know what you're saying.
But, like, what I'm saying is there's dosages. Like, some people just don't know how to chill the fuck out and just be glad who they are. Some people are glad to know who they are, but other people have to project it to where everybody immediately in the room knows and feels and sees and hears. And that's the kind of shit. I'm getting to that
point. Yeah, they want to make a statement. They're like, I'm going to be overly gay to prove a fucking point.
Or
I know what you mean.
It's not necessarily just even, like, overly gay. Like, just overly anything. Like, I don't... Like, you know what's so funny? Is, like, I remember being that kid who blasts his music, you know, down the highway and shit. And then, like, when it came to, like, the light on the residential neighborhood, I lowered down my music, right? Because, like, for me, I was like, you know what? Hey, it's cool. Like, I'm on the highway. No one can hear it. It's just me. But I don't want to be that one guy who's like, boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying? Like right next to some fucking lady who's like already.
Oh,
you know,
I do. I'm selling drugs when I'm listening to music. What you mean? I'm a whole thug. No, what you mean? In real life, I'm the plug. No, I'm Pablo Escobar.
No, like for me, it's just like I don't know. Like it's just so funny, like how the dynamics have changed. We're like, I used to be okay with that. You know what's so funny is I remember, and now thinking about this shit, there was this guy, and I had just graduated high school, and I was blaring Aaliyah, right? I was blaring, I think, We Need a Resolution. Rock the Boat. And I remember some guy was like, yo, is that Aaliyah? And I was like, yeah. He's like,
that's my girl, Lele.
No, he straight up asked, he was like, why are you a guy blasting Aaliyah? And I looked at him, and I said, because I own this vehicle, and I can. And he was waiting at the bus stop.
So, toxic masculinity. But bro, music is fucking music, bro. Yeah.
But try it's telling music. To some of these people, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, music,
I realized, small-minded. Like, he looks like this big, burly, buff man, Latino man, and he's listening to Britney Spears' Toxic. Like, let this motherfucker live his best life. Like, you know what's funny? Care so much?
It's not a lot of people knew that when Arnold Schwarzenegger actually, you know, did his bodybuilding, you know,
Sarah Connor.
You know, people didn't know that he was actually listening to classical music when he worked out. He listened to classical music. I forgot what he said about, like,
he listened to Bach and Mozart.
I don't know who it was, but he definitely listened to classical music. But people were like very astounded because, like, when you go to the gym now, right, like, you're always listening to people, or at least most people are listening to something like, you know, something gets you, you know,
let the bodies hit the flow. Let the bodies hit the flow.
I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes,
do you remember the song?
Oh, yeah. My cousin used to blare that shit like in loud speakers. In high school, like that's how he'd wake up. It's funny, like he said, he's like these subwoofers in his room, and he'd like wake up to fucking Bone Thugs and Harmony. Wake up, it's 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my god.
Yes. And real then, of course, school. That was another one when he was listening to him. Like, goddamn, like, Robert, like, it's fucking 6 o'clock in the morning. I know you're going to prep school, but goddamn. But no, I found it funny that, like, you know, listen to music and stuff. Like, as I've gotten older, I've appreciated music for what it is. Because, like, sometimes you just need an escape, you know?
And that's exactly what it should be. Mm-hmm. Like, an escape. Who gives a shit what you listen to? If it makes you feel good. If it brings you up, if it brings you happiness, if it puts a smile on your face, let that man listen to whatever he wants to listen to, whether it's classical music or Britney Spears, you know? Bone Thugs and Harmony or Mimi.
Right? But, you know, but again, like, to kind of, like, circle back on that whole, like, you know, dynamic of a relationship, they asked a really good question a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. They said, what is one thing that, as you've gotten older, you had to unlearn?
Church. I think for me is what true accountability looks like, and also understanding that a relationship takes two people and not one, and not every fucking thing has to be a battle, bro. I need to unlearn a lot of bullshit. But, you know, I'm well on my way. Like, I'm a work in progress. Like, don't get me wrong. There's times where I'm calling Gio. I'm like, yo, I just want to put my motherfucking hand over this motherfucking big-ass giraffe neck motherfucker and just choke his ass up. But I'm changing. You know, so... But I do have my moments where it's like, fuck, bro. Like, goddamn, this motherfucker get on my nerves. And likewise with me, you know? But it's all about communication. It's all about understanding. And it's all about listening to understand, not listening to respond. Like, it really is, like, it takes a lot of work and a lot of, like, patience. But most importantly, I think after what I'm really learning, as I listed a bunch of things, a handful of things, but the number one thing is, Gio, what I have to unlearn, and I'm going to say this as clear as possible because this goes out to a lot of Latinos: know how to shut the fuck up. That's just what it is. I'm learning how to shut the fuck up because I don't know how to shut the fuck up. Like, I think everybody's trying to play with me. I can be a little bit pessimistic, you know? It's challenging. That's the hardest part of my relationship, is just shutting the fuck up and just being like, you know what? It's okay. He can have a little thunder. He can have his moment. He can have his day in the sun. I'm a star. I'm just kidding. But
no, but you're right though. But that's, I think that's even like, remember telling you like for 13 years and stuff, it's just like, it's so hard to kind of revert to a different person because the person you had to build for so long was like the survival way, right?
Yeah. So like, I want to be my soft boy era. I want to be soft. I want to be a gummy bear. I want to be a gummy bear.
No, you want to be Gumby, soft ass. No, I'm joking.
You stupid. No. Ain't nothing flat over here, okay? You stupid. Okay, no. Let's talk about the Scream trailer. I mean, let's talk about Scream period.
Let me talk about one thing I learned. You know what's funny? Hala. One thing that I had to unlearn was that for a while, I was always quick to like shit on somebody else's like little parade, you know, when it came to something I didn't like. And it was because somehow, like, I was just, again, toxic masculinity was taught me that in order for you to be the top dog, you gotta like, you know, shit and bring people down and have them kind of fear you, right? I had to learn to tweak that. I had to learn to, you know what? There are a lot of people in the gay community that I will never be friends with. I am a firm believer that not all men are created equal. But that's a good thing though, because everybody is intended to be whoever they're meant to be. And again, they're not meant to appease me, you know, like the same way that I'm not meant to appease them at the end of the day.
Yeah. Like not everybody's born to be an astronaut. Some people are born to be barbers. You know what I mean? Not everybody's born to be an engineer. Some people are born to be file clerks. Like, it's just what it is.
Everybody has their place. The only thing that I like have to remind myself is like, look, you have two legs that are functioning at the moment. If somebody is rubbing you the wrong way, just leave. You know, if for some reason you have been there, but I do have to assert my dominancy at times. If I have been in a place before and not longer than you have, I'm gonna Jazzy Faye the hell out of you and throw you the fuck out the front door.
Because for me, when I go out, I'm echoing, by the way.
Right.
Stay tuned.
Right.